What's up, Aspire leaders, and happy spring. As I'm looking out my window, of course, it's snowing, but I hope you are staying warm and enjoying this time of year. I have a wonderful guest, Alana Winnick, with me today. She resides in New York City and currently holds a key leadership position as the Educational Technology Director and Data Protection Officer for a wonderful school district in New York. We're going to be talking about a lot of her projects, including her wonderful book, The Generative Age, Artificial Intelligence, and the Future of Education. She's also the host of a podcast with a very similar name, the Generative Age Podcast. So make sure you check out the book and the podcast. We're going to talk about those projects, but then also an exciting announcement that she's going to be sharing for the first time on the Aspire to Lead podcast. Before we get into that conversation, I just wanted to just highlight a few things. Just a reminder, I'll be keynote speaking at the MELC conference at Breckenridge, Colorado, June 19th. So if you want more information or you want to join me at that beautiful establishment in Colorado, you can head over to the show notes. There's a bit.ly link, which will connect you to make sure you get registered for this amazing summer conference. The other thing is the last bonus episode that was just released with my wonderful co-author, Charlie Peck. We now have a link for the pre-sale of our upcoming book, which will be coming out this fall, 2024. So if you want more information about the topic, what we're throwing in regards to this resource, make sure that you check out that episode. Charlie and I will be providing webinars and additional content through the podcast in the future. So make sure that you're looking out for that information. But if you want to get on the pre-order list, make sure that you head over to the show notes or joshtamper.com. And make sure that you click that link. And with that, we're going to dive into a conversation on artificial intelligence and how the assessment process is going to need to change with this very important piece of technology. Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire to Lead, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. All right, welcome back, Aspire Leaders and Teach Better Family. I'm so excited for my guests. I have lost track of time because Alana has just shared so much wisdom prior to this recording. So I'm super excited that we can get it on the record for all of you to hear. She has a phenomenal book, podcast, a new project that she is going to share a little bit about. And this is the first time that she's sharing. So I'm super excited for that, but also talking about a very important topic, which is thrust into education right now, which is artificial intelligence. And with that, Alana, thank you so much for being on Aspire to Lead.
Thank you so much for having me on. And it's so nice to meet you in virtual life.
Yes. Well, I was just in New York. Your background is gorgeous. You got the skyline behind you. You can see the hustle and bustle of the New York City. And I had such a phenomenal trip. And I definitely want to go back. It was such a fun environment.
I know it's definitely a lot of energy. Luckily, I live in a quiet area where I can sleep with my windows open and not hear anything. So that's pretty lovely, not normal New York.
Alana, I've heard quite a bit just beforehand about your journey. I'm super excited for you to share with my audience as far as your background in education and then also, you know, all the different projects you've got going on, because I feel like it's endless. You've got so much going on beyond just your role in education.
Yeah, I do. So my background is in childhood ed, and then my master's is in educational technology. And then I went back for educational leadership, which probably brings me here. So I did all of those jobs leading up to that. So I taught in an elementary school for 2 years, and then I was an ed tech specialist in one district for 2 years. Then I worked for New York State and supported 48 school districts for 8 years. One of them was my current school district. And then during the pandemic, they're like, "We can't share you." So I became the educational technology director and data protection officer of a school district in Westchester. And I've been doing that. This is my 4th year. And then I sit on the board of directors for NiceGate. And then I also published a book last year and launched a podcast last year. So last year was a really big year. And I graduated last year with a leadership degree. So I was like, how can I top that this year? But I do have a project that I'm going to announce later.
Congratulations on all of those things, because that's a huge year of a lot of accolades. And you have a fantastic book. And we said already that we'll talk about that later. But I really want to touch on artificial intelligence, because obviously that's what your book is on. It's something that you're passionate about. And I also know that a lot of people are kind of freaking out with it and how it's influencing and changing education. And I would love your viewpoint as far as just how we need to kind of rethink AI, specifically with the assessment and the learning aspects of education.
Yeah, so it's funny because I originally wrote this book for school leaders, and it was supposed to be because I didn't think I know there's some school leaders that read like a lot, but they're very busy and they usually don't read full books. So I was going to make a guidebook just for school leaders. And then when I pitched it to Jimmy Casas, he's like, this is not just for school leaders. This is for everyone. So you need to rewrite this through the lens of everyone and you need to write more. So I didn't ever actually aspire to write a full book, but I did. But for me, what I think is it's not about the AI. Like, yes, it is about AI, but it's not. So when the pandemic happened, you know, horrible time in the world, but like so excited in the world of educational technology, what teachers were now capable of. And then I felt like when things went back to the way they were, education kind of just went back to the way it was. But with AI, I really feel like it's the catalyst for change because there's no going back. It's not going anywhere. It's here to stay. At our core, it's really our job to prepare students for this future that we don't even understand. But what we do know is AI is here to stay. And it, in a world where literally artificial intelligence can write your essays for you and do some work for you, that I really think that we need to reassess how we're assessing our students. So I always say my tagline is process over product. We really shouldn't be looking at the end product like an essay. We really need to take whatever piece, I just like to use essay because it's the easiest one to use, and focusing on the learning process. So maybe asking them to write less essays, but having more check-ins with them along the way. And then like, you know, if you have a really great writer and they're getting A's every year, are they growing? Like, are they really growing? Or are they just a really great writer that's getting A's? So I feel like if we assess the learning process and we assess the growth in our students, that's what's really more important. We really need to push their thinking and push their abilities to help them grow. And use AI. Use AI. It will help you. Don't be scared of it. Don't say you can't use. And I also think like it's not if you use it. It's how you use it. So I think we need to reframe thinking that it's cheating. And we need to really reframe that if it's not if it's how. I just recently was talking to a colleague and her son got accused of cheating like last week. And he wrote this whole email to his teacher like, yes, I used it, but it's because I didn't understand the topic. But clearly you could tell I understood it when I stood up in front of the class and gave a class presentation and you heard me in my like small, I guess they had like a Socratic seminar or something. Mm-hmm. He was like, I clearly comprehended the content if I was able to have those discussions. So I think, yeah, he did use it. He admits he used it, but no one assessed and looked at how he used it. And I think that's really, really important.
I think one of the biggest fears, especially with educational leaders, is just the detection, how it works with the student code of conduct, cheating, which you brought up. And I think that's where the what ifs and the fear comes in as far as what is this going to look like when a lot of it is product based, like an end product and not looking at the process. So I love what you're talking about, but I'm also wondering if you could help guide our educational leaders as far as the detection and cheating component of AI and how that should be used.
So it's really funny. I'm not going to use no names, but someone I know, their brother-in-law, he's starting this new tech startup. And he's like, can you do me a favor and talk to my brother-in-law about his new ed tech startup? I'm like, sure. So I hop on the call. I'm like, oh, like, tell me about your product. And he's like, we're an AI detection software company. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm just letting you know that I'm doing this to you as a favor, but never in my job would I have ever accepted this call in my role, because it really goes against everything I believe in. I think that is creating this like gotcha culture where you are trying to catch your students doing something wrong. And I just, it doesn't ethically feel right to me. We rewrote our acceptable use policy, and I just want to highlight the words acceptable use policy. It should be acceptable uses of technology, but your homework assignment leaders, take out your acceptable use policy. I learned this from Richard Collada, CEO of ISTE. Count the number of do's and count the number of don'ts. It is shocking. Maybe that should be my answer to your last question. Shocking how many don'ts you have. So I rewrote the whole thing, reframed it to positive. I used AI. I plugged it in. I said, reframe this to be more positive. And I told the students what I want them to do. And part of that, we're talking about policy here. I have a controversial opinion about AI policy, maybe. Everyone's all about AI policy. So do we have a Google policy? Do we have an internet policy? Like, we don't have those policies. One of my former supervisors, who is now an assistant superintendent, we did like a little interview live on a stage, and we made a joke that it's like when a pencil first came out, you didn't tell the kids, like, this is like a writing tool, right? It's a pencil. Well, this is a pen, but if you're not listening, let's write all the things we shouldn't do with a pencil. Like, it's sharp. Don't stab someone with it. Don't draw on the desk or the walls. Like, it's round. So if you drop it, you might slip and fall on it because it's round. Like, you would never do those things. It's kind of ridiculous, right? So we want to always encourage our students what we want them to do, the positives, the acceptables. But we also, I feel like if you take any AI policy just for fun and swap out the words AI for like Google, internet, or just to be silly, pencil, and you reread it again, you're just going to literally laugh out loud at yourself. And the reality is, in 5 or 10 years from now, AI, I'm not calling it a fad because it's not a fad. It's not going anywhere, but it's going to be baked into everything that we already use right in our world, in our emails, in our documents, in our slides, in our sheets. Right now, you might have to pay extra for Copilot or Gemini, but it's going to be there eventually, built right in, and we can't escape it. We can't hide from it. In 5 or 10 years, it's not going to be a thing that we are calling out and talking about. It's going to be like the cloud. Like when cloud computing came out and people can now collaborate on documents online, like that was mind blowing. We don't talk about that anymore because it's just normal. AI is just going to be normal. So to make an AI policy just seems a little bit ridiculous to me. What I did add to my acceptable use policy was, because I didn't want to write AI, I added in academic integrity. And we focused on handing in work that's reflective of your own thoughts and your own ideas and your own words. And we made sure that we told the students that if you're going to use resources, to properly cite them. And it's just all about academic integrity. And I feel like detection is just really a negative culture. And as a leader, I don't think you want to be the leader that brings that culture into your school.
Well, let's talk about the process over product, because I think you have a phenomenal presentation that you provide for a keynote that's called The Game of Education. And I kind of learned this. I don't have a presentation on this, but I do share this in my presentations also, as far as being a terrible student, because I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to use a lot of this stuff. And it wasn't until I got challenged my junior year that I was like, fine, I'll play the game my senior year. And honestly, I did. I played the game. I got A's and I got into college because of the game, right? So I want to know about your background, how you see the product and how it's being used more so now, and how AI can really be a game changer to really focus on something completely different that's going to help our students for a future that a lot of us don't even know what that's going to look like, especially because of how advanced technology is getting.
I really strive for the students in my school district to know that their work might have an audience beyond the four walls of their classroom. Mm-hmm. And I think when we are just like, write an essay, like, okay, read this book. I was just meeting with a group of eighth graders today, and they were telling me that they read this book and they really enjoyed it. They really loved the book. They're like, I just wish that I read it outside of school. And I was like, why? They're like, because it just, I don't want to write essays about it. But I talked to him. I was like, do you think that if you were taking that and applying it to something, like maybe, because they had to do this project where they have to pick a character and I guess talk from that lens of the character throughout the book. I was like, what if you were asked to make a podcast and each episode of the podcast was that? Like, that would be cool. I'm like, do you realize that that's still writing, kind of, because you have to script it out and think about your thoughts. It's still writing, right? Like a lot of my book I wrote with dictation because I think I speak pretty well, but writing, it's like kind of annoying. But if you could dictate, that's what I did. I dictated and ran it through AI, and then I went back and edited it because your speaking doesn't always match your typing, like the style. But it's the same product, right? The same knowledge that we're trying to get out of that student. It's the same exact knowledge. It's just asking them to show their knowledge in a different way. So I think that's not necessarily the process, but I think we can change the product to a product that's more engaging, and they're going to be more interested in it. And when they're more interested in it, then they'll leverage the tools around them, such as AI, to help them get there. But then we can also push their thinking and help them grow either a human intelligence or an artificial intelligence. And I think when we make things more meaningful and make their work shared to a more global audience, they put a lot more time and work into it. Like, they actually care when they have an authentic audience.
No, I love that, because that is the way things are going. And I mean, I do feel like, and maybe tell me if you have a different view, but I even think like colleges are starting to make that shift too, as far as what they're looking for in regards to their students and how they're accepting folks and what they're looking for, as far as, again, the process over the product. Yeah. And finding the right student that they know is going to go not only through their program, but be successful in that. But then also, I want to go back to your background too, as far as a student, is I think you understood that what you're doing as far as the game isn't going to help you become a successful adult.
Yeah, no, I think so. We talked about that a bit before. So just to fill the listeners in. So as a student, I have this talk that it was called, it's on YouTube. It's called The Game of Education, but I'm renaming it. That one's going to be The Academic Parrot, because I'm actually redoing it. And it's going to be more about like making my audience be like, we're in a game. We're like, I'm going to be like, we're trying to like beat levels and stuff. So they're two similar messages, but just two different deliveries of it. But I figured out how to be a really good student. I figured out that if I listened to my teachers and I wrote down their words and I literally regurgitated their words back to them like a parrot, then I would get A's, and I got A's. And my brother didn't care about school at all. He's probably actually smarter than me. He's a very smart person, but grade-wise, it looks like I'm much smarter than him. Now this year, you know, now that I have like a podcast and a book, like the book or whatever, people might assume I'm smart. But like, let's rewind a year ago. If you were looking at both of us and you were going to say what defines a successful adult, like my brother's married with a family, with a baby. He's a homeowner. I rent my apartment. He owns his own business. He's really successful in the standard like check boxes of life that you would say. And does it matter that he didn't get good grades? Like, does it matter? Does the grade actually make you successful? No, my brother turned out great. The problem was he was bored in school. That's what the problem was. His teachers weren't engaging him. But that's a whole different conversation. But talking about the game of education, I think I was very good at playing that game. I figured it out. Two of my three degrees, I have 4.0 GPAs. Does that matter? No. Does anyone know where I went to college or what my GPAs were? No. I think my resume really does speak for itself with what I've accomplished. And I think if you look at my portfolio work and the work that my district is doing under my leadership, I think that's what matters, right? Not my grades or what I like. That doesn't matter. So I think it's hard as a teacher to say the grades don't matter. It's hard as an educator to say that, right? But I think what we need to do as educators is really get to know our students and figure out what they're passionate about and help them make learning fun and help make it meaningful and help them figure out their path, right? Because we're not all on the same path. And what might be right for one student, college might not be right for that kid. And guess what? They might have a tech startup and become the next like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. They might literally never go to college, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's our job as educators not to make them get A's and be successful, but it's really to help them discover who they are and how they can be self-learners and advocate for themselves and find their own path of what they're passionate about.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
All right, Alana, I want to transition to your new project.
Yeah, it's related to what I just said. So
that's perfect. Good segue. So yeah. I'm super excited because I, even in our pre-chat, I don't even know the direction you're going, but I know that it's super exciting on empowerment. And I would love for you to share what this new project's all about.
Yeah. So I'm really all about empowerment. I think as a leader, it's so, so important to empower your teachers. I think you have like lots of hidden gems. It's hidden gem in your school. And they might be your shyest people. And it's if you can get them to shine and then they build the confidence, you're going to get some really great work out of them. So I've discovered that in my role as a leader. But in my new journey, I had two very special individuals reach out to me. I didn't know them. And they were advocating for a platform for their message. And one of them reached out to me in January and I said, okay, I think this is something. And then 2 weeks ago, another one of these individuals, I'll tell you who they are in a second, reached out with a similar concept. And it was around AI. And I said, this is way bigger than AI because like we were talking about, AI is a small piece of the technology world and it's always evolving and changing. So I like to think of the bigger bucket as innovation. My target audience, well, it does involve teachers too, but I'll tell you the name of it. So we're launching officially, I think on Friday, but we're working with a web designer. So this is like a not full-blown website. So if you're seeing it, it's the first version of the website. If you're listening to this when it first comes out, but there'll be a more robust one. So the name of it is called Students for Innovation. And in this world of AI right now, I feel like educators and leaders are struggling and they don't understand what this is or what this means. And students have the answer. A lot of them, they're like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. So I have this group of insanely passionate students who are advocating for change in their schools. So we have students from across the country. I have one student who's about to go into college and study film, and I'm giving them all leadership. Talk about leadership. They're all having leadership roles. So he's going to be leading a group of video editors and editing all the videos. Oh, I didn't describe really what it is. Okay, so there's two paths that a student can take. One is they could start a chapter in their school, and we're going to give them a whole toolkit of tools that they need to do it. So a recruitment toolkit with resources, pre-made email templates that they could customize, recruitment flyers, loudspeaker announcements, anything that they would need to recruit a team. And then there's also modules because we wanted everyone to have the same baseline assessment. So the students are it's for students by students, and they're creating all the material. And our big buckets are like communication, because you need to have effective communication skills. And there's two different types of communication. So that would be public speaking at a faculty meeting or conference day, or one-on-one coaching. It's a very different skill with a lot of listening and not touching the computer, but guiding them on how to do that themselves. And, you know, not every teacher is going to be okay with or agree with this. So they're going to have to learn how to very politely push back. And I have a team of students in this communications program. They're high schoolers. They've been studying communication since middle school. They're running the communications module. So they're like a captain of their debate team. They do all these, they run the morning show of their school. So they're going to be helping with the communication module. We have executive functioning. So all these kids are so busy. They're doing so much, but they might not be good at managing their time. So teaching them how to manage their time, use their calendar, limit distractions, notifications, and just those things. And then we have the modules of the content like AI, media literacy, cybersecurity, data privacy, security, and like a bunch more. So we're building out these modules. We're looking for more students to add to the leadership side of the team. So there's either two ways. One, you start a chapter in your school, you use our resources and you learn. And then we have facilitation toolkits. So if they want to teach a faculty meeting on AI, we have a generalized one for them that they could customize. Or maybe it's just for English teachers or just for math teachers. We have pre-made templates that they could customize. So there's the learning modules and there's the toolkits, all made for students. Everything has been checked over by an educator. It's not just, you know, free for all from students. And so either you could start this in your school, and then we're going to have summits and Zooms and check-ins so they can meet other people from around the country or the world that are also very passionate about this as well. and they're all already want to make a module on like how do they advocate for a new course in their school. They want to learn how they can approach a school leader in a very respectful way and advocate for a new course. So these are their ideas that they want to do, and I'm just giving them a platform to empower them on their ideas. And then the other part of it would be if they want to get more involved, like we want to have a success story blog. So a student that really is into journalism, give them a real job and they're going to be writing the success stories, or maybe one of them wants to start a podcast. So it's really just empowering students and then having the older students teach the younger ones so that they can grow into more of these leadership skills. So that's what it is. What do you think of it?
I love it. Man, I wish when I was a part of a building that I could have implemented something like this. We had so many students that were already doing what you're saying. Like they would run up and be like, you don't understand, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, this would give them a program that they had power over, and that innovation piece. I mean, you already know, Alana, like that's my jam. I want to change education. And to do that, we do need to have the students a part of that decision-making and building what the school and the educational environment looks like in the future. So love this so much. If someone's listening right now and they're like, yes, I want this in my building, I want to learn more about it, where would they go to find more information?
Studentsforinnovation.org. But so the website up right now is built by a student just this weekend, because we wanted like a website up for you to join so that you could be involved or apply for more of like a leadership role. So we have one up now. It's great for what he coded in 48 hours, but we are working on a more robust professional looking one. So hopefully by the time you look at this, you won't think, well, it was made by a child. It was, but that's what's so cool about it.
It's very cool. So we'll make sure that we have that link in the show notes, and then also it'll be on joshstamper.com. So make sure that you're clicking on that, finding more information on the beta website. And obviously you can find more to get involved and find out how you can implement this onto your campus. With that, Alana, I want you just to take a moment to talk about your book and your podcast.
Yeah.
You have such a phenomenal resource, both you know, in audio form, and then also with the visual, of course, the book. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing for those who are looking for more information specifically on this topic, I know you said it's more than just AI. So I'd love for you to expand on that.
Yeah. So it's way more than just AI. So I do have, and again, it was originally written for a school leader. So if you are a school leader, you were the target audience. But I did put a lot of these, you if you're listening, you can't see, but Josh, you can see. There's a lot of these like interactives in the book that really helps you like reflect and think like, is this cheating? Is it not? Like there's sort of a whole pop quiz on identifying academic dishonesty in assignment. And it helps you really think about like, is this cheating? Would you do it in your own work? And if you would do it in your own work, think about that one. If you would do it, why is it cheating if a student does it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I have a lot of interactives like that, a whole bunch of them. And there's QR codes to check some of them you could check your answers and see if they're right or wrong. Other ones are not because they're reflective, but you could see what other people thought. So there's just like a whole lot of interactives in there. And the whole goal is, it's not really a how-to. It's more of helping you reframe your way of thinking. You'll definitely understand more about what AI is, and it will help you reframe it. And for all of you leaders listening, there's 4 case studies in the back on 4 very different ways of rolling out AI in schools. So I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about the case studies. That's what I think I get the most feedback on. So that's something to keep an eye out for in the book. But I think it just really helps you reframe your mind around AI and see how you could roll it out in your school. And then the podcast is really fun because that's ongoing and I get really great thought leaders to join the podcast. My top listens are like John Spencer. He's amazing. Oh, yeah. If you don't know him, he's my number one most listened to episode. My second most listened to episode is I had Microsoft Education's Chief Innovation Officer. That was pretty awesome. I'm going to interview ISTE's CEO, Richard Collada. I just haven't scheduled that one yet. And then other top listens, Ken Shelton, I just had on for AI bias and discrimination. And that's a very interesting one, a very important topic. And most recently had, which everyone thinks that you can't use AI in elementary, I just had Holly Clark on talking about student-facing AI in the elementary classroom. So if you are an elementary administrator, you should definitely, or anyone, but like people always say elementary schoolers can't do it, but they can.
They can. So the book, The Generative Age, we'll have that link both, again, in the show notes and on joshsamper.com. For those who are watching on YouTube, thank you. You definitely got to see the inside of the book and all of the wonderful resources that are so important, because, Alana, I think this is the book that folks need, especially our leaders, because our districts don't have anything. Like, this is brand new terrain that folks have never explored.
Questions for them to ask their staff and meaning.
There you go. I love it.
It's all done for you.
These are all the conversations that need to be happening in schools. Yeah. So definitely grab the book as soon as possible. Check out Alana's wonderful podcast, because she has phenomenal guests. It expands off of the book. And with that, I would love to pick your brain for our aspiring and current leaders who are listening. So if there's something they could do tomorrow or next week to enhance your leadership journey, what would you recommend?
Okay. My advice to you is going to be, you can do anything. Literally, you could do anything that you could put your mind to, but you can't do everything, right? Time is limited. You can't do everything, but you could do anything. So use AI to help you do the things that, and I know that Josh, we talked about this before and you told me to say it again. So here I'm tying it back in. What do you think are your most important attributes as a human that you want to preserve that you don't think AI can do? Like, do those things. Yep. Those are the things you should be doing. Anything else that you could pass off to the AI, because you only have so many hours in a day. So just use it to help you and save you time, because then you could spend more time having conversations with your teachers and your students and having personal relationships. And that's what matters, those personal relationships.
Such a key point. Love it so much, Alana. So for those who are listening, please connect with Alana, her website. She's got some phenomenal resources in addition to the podcast and the book. So you definitely check those out. Alana, how can folks connect with you both through your website and on social media?
Yeah, so my website, alanawinnick.com. I use Twitter or X. I use X and LinkedIn most, but I think I need to start expanding. I'm really hesitant to do the TikTok thing, but everyone's telling me I need to. I don't know how I feel about that one. I have Instagram. I post, you know, only big things on Instagram. I use X and LinkedIn most, but I think I need to start expanding. So if you have ideas for me, Josh, I'm all open to those.
I guess we're going to have a after conversation.
Yeah.
Although I'm not great about TikTok. I have an account. Folks follow me there, but I have very little. So yeah, I'm definitely more on X and Instagram myself. So, but with that, definitely connect with Alana. We'll have all the links again in the show notes. For those who are watching on YouTube, thank you so much. And make sure that you're pressing that subscribe, both either on Josh Samper as far as that channel, or you can go over to Teach Better's YouTube channel, as that's a growing community also. And like I said, we'll make sure that we have absolutely everything for you to connect with Alana and grab all those wonderful resources that she's talking about, including the Empowerment Project, which I'm so excited for. You're obviously making a huge impact, not just in New York, but all over this country. And I'm so proud of what you've done in such a short period of time. You truly are a diamond in the rough.
A diamond in the rough, or a hidden gem.
A hidden gem, yes.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Thank you so much, Alana, for being on Aspire to Lead.
Thank you for having me on. It was fun.